The John Daly Show, Sports.
And Week 12 in the NFL looks just as intriguing as Week 11. Hi, everyone. We're coming to you on Wednesday before Thanksgiving. We will look at the Turkey Day games. The best team in football gets absolutely no respect. Does anyone even watch the Panthers play this year? Could the Pats, also at 10-0, actually run out of players? Injuries are getting worse, it seems, and some are non-contact injuries. Is this hurting the fans or actually helping the standings? In Denver, is Brock the new Peyton? Have the Raiders given up on the season? And we will look at religion in football. Is the NFL the no-faith league? And ESPN has to be pissed at Johnny Football. It looks like the coaching carousel is also beginning to swirl, and some coaches may be getting off on a Trojan horse or a Bayou Bengal. And what is up with the referees? As always, our expert Eric Schneider is with us. He is the author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. You can hear him on the Power Hour on 1340 Fox Sports Radio in Las Vegas. Boychuk, good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. Another week that keeps us talking.
Good morning and happy turkey to you too, my friend.
All right, buddy. Hey, let's get started with some startling and some sad news. Rams wide receiver Stedman Bailey was shot twice in Miami overnight. He was hit in the head and the hip. The injuries are not considered life-threatening, although he is going into surgery. The Rams actually said in a statement that they spoke to him. Bailey's cousin is in critical condition, though, with multiple wounds. He was allegedly trying to shield younger relatives while they were in a car that was attacked by two assailants. Bailey, at the time, was on a four-game suspension for PED usage. Those are the details of the shooting as we know it now. What are you hearing?
Well, he was in the Miami Gardens area of Florida, which is, if you've followed that area, it's a crime-infested area, although crime has gone down in the last couple of years. This is a gang-related incident, and unfortunately, the Rams have to ask themselves, what is one of their star players doing in that area? Obviously, he went back to the hood. And he got involved in a situation he couldn't get out of. But from what I understand, he was trying to help people that, in the shooting incident not get shot. He got shot, and his cousin's in really bad situation. But, you know, if you're out at night and you're in a bad area, bad things can happen.
Well, and we're going to talk about the Johnny Manziel situation. Not that he was involved in any shooting, but certainly the behavior off the field is something that the NFL's got to look at. We'll talk about that later in the show. Also, the NFL today just announced three more games in England for 2016. The Jacksonville Jaguars will definitely have one of those games. Definitely the Rams are one of the teams. They're going to play either the Giants or the Cowboys based on how the standings end at the end of the season in the NFC East. The Bengals and Redskins are a definite for the last game. There will also be a new venue there, the stadium at Twickenham, in addition to Wembley. Kind of interesting with the Paris bombings and the security problems in Europe, if this might change. And again, that's speculation on my part. Any thoughts from you?
Well, those games sell out in 12 minutes. The English are absolute fanatics over the NFL game. It's the NFL in a country that's so enamored with soccer like the rest of Europe, the NFL is picking up such steam in that country. More steam at a faster pace than soccer's picked up in the United States with the American public. I'm not saying the Hispanic population that lives here, but football has really taken off there. So, and the Jacksonville Jaguars, it's rumored, my last statement on it is that they want to kind of figure out something in the next 10 years. They play four games there and four games in Jacksonville. Their owner, Shad Khan, absolutely loves going to London. Their team loves going to London. And they won. They had a great game against Buffalo weeks back, and I think it's good for the league.
All right. Is it me? Because this is the first time we've done the show on Wednesday. We usually do it on Thursday or Friday. Is there just more breaking news on Wednesday for the NFL and there's not much stuff going into the week? Or is this just odd that there's breaking news now?
Well, on Wednesday is when all the injury reports come out and you really get yourself set for practice. And it's really a time when the coaches do their last media interviews let's say the Raiders go to Tennessee, which they're doing this weekend. Jack Del Rio will have his press conferences on Tuesday night with the out-of-town media because they want to get settled down into football. So, yeah, a lot of information happens on Wednesday. And for the bettors and the fantasy guys, the main thing is the injury report.
Interesting. Okay, cool. Let's hop into things because we got a lot to cover. Let's play fraud or real, or do you like calling it pretender contender? Which one would you prefer?
Pretender contender sounds good.
Okay. Pretender contender is what it's going to be. Pretender or contender? Green Bay Packers.
Contender. I mean, they went on a three-game losing streak, and they went into Minnesota, and everyone and their mother picked Minnesota, and they dominated the Vikings. Dominated them. And what's crazy about it was a defense that was so suspect in the Packers, that just came out and they're all over Adrian Peterson causing a fumble. And after the game, Teddy Bridgewater, their quarterback, John, said that was the most physical game that we've been in a long time. And that's not, you know, coming from a team play that the Packers aren't known for their physicality. So, and of course, Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. They're a contender.
Okay. Pretender or contender, Texans, Houston Texans.
They're a pretender, even though I like the fact that they came out with a big win, 10-6 victory a week ago Monday against the Cincinnati Bengals. When you play this musical chairs at quarterback, and you got T.J. Yates, big win against the Jets. He came this past Sunday, and now they're going back to Brian Hoyer. When you have two quarterbacks, it means you don't have one. So they have a good defense. They don't have enough weapons on offense. DeAndre Hopkins is a Pro Bowl wide receiver and leading that team. It's a guy to watch out for in the future. But they have a lack of running game. I think they're a pretender.
Okay, I disagree with you on that. I think because of their defense. I like what they've been doing. And again, maybe they've peaked. But, okay, pretender or contender, Dallas Cowboys.
A pretender. I have never, in all my years watching football, four decades, have seen a team with so much media attention that's 3-7. They go into Miami and beat the Dolphins, which is a mediocre team at best, and all of a sudden they're back. And they had a big game tomorrow against Carolina, which we'll talk about later. But the bottom line is their defense is suspect. Darren McFadden's having a nice season, a bounce-back season, after all those lousy years at the Raiders. Romo is a great quarterback. I think Tony Romo is an elite quarterback, and he does make a difference. The bottom line is they have a really rough schedule. They got road games against the Bills and the Jets coming up, and a tough one tomorrow against Carolina. They can't afford another loss, so I'm calling them a pretender.
Okay, well, let's go to that game. We'll go to the games now because we'll talk about the Thanksgiving games. This to me is the most intriguing game. 10-0 Panthers against the Cowboys that are 3-7. But this is the strangest thing, and you told me this yesterday. The Cowboys are actually favorites in this game.
Never seen that. Never. I've never seen a team that's 10-0. We talked off the record. I called you and I said, John, there's something that just came across. This is a 10-0 team that's really dominating teams and blowing them out and blew out the Redskins and blew out the Titans. They're blowing everyone out. And they were down. They had three 80-yard touchdown drives against the Seattle Seahawks earlier in the season in Seattle, which really lifted the red flag for me on them. Cam Newton's having a Hall of Fame. He's having a MVP type of season, John. Mm-hmm. And they're underdogs going against the Cowboys? I don't get it.
You know, we talk a lot about media bias because we add a lot of different things in here when it comes to sports and other things. But there's media bias here because people have not watched this team. And I'm almost guilty of it, too, even though I live down here. And last week was probably the first week I got a chance to sit and watch a full game with them. And they're a good team. They're a really good team. They're not flashy by any means. Cam's a little flashy in what he does after he scores. But for the most part, this is a solid team. And as long as they continue along this path and don't get a lot of injuries, I think this is the team to beat right now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Jerry Richardson is an owner that really stayed the course with head coach Ron Rivera. He was on the hot seat a couple years ago. Remember that?
I remember, yeah.
And Cam was struggling, and he said, look, I'm staying the course with this guy. He's got a four-year plan. They were a 7-9 team last year that won the division, but they really improved at the end of the year, and it carried over to this season. And they have a guy that we've never talked about, but he's my version of the modern-day Dick Butkus, and a guy named Luke Kuechly.
Yeah.
Absolute Ben Affleck lookalike. If you see this guy with that helmet on,
yeah.
Girls love this guy. If he was a rock star, they'd be throwing their panties at him. And I think they do with the games anyways. I was at a Panthers game, and I caught a red one. It actually fit. But anyways, this guy is phenomenal. Phenomenal linebacker.
Yeah.
He could play the outside, the weak, the skinny blitz. Terrific player. He quarterbacks that defense. Cam quarterbacks that offense. I mean, they had a big injury at the beginning of the year, losing Kelvin Benjamin, their rookie wide receiver from last year that was all rookie. And it's the next man up. I like the Panthers tomorrow. I like them big.
I like him big, too. Defensive end Wes Horton suspended for four games for PED use. Is that going to be any effect?
No. Situational player, a good situational mm-hmm. player, a guy that really it plays well in a 3-4 scheme when they have it, but they knew this was coming. Like the Raiders knew Alden Smith was getting suspended and people jumped on that. The league knows. The league tells the teams, look, these guys failed. We're keeping it from the media just so we can keep it out of the media so they don't talk about it, and then they announce it. So they knew it was coming, and whenever you see teams make moves like they bring a guy up from the practice squad, it means, or they add someone in free agency and cut someone, it means that they're losing someone at that position. Keep that in mind, listeners.
All right. Bears go to Lambeau to play the apparently resurgent Packers, as we just talked about, who beat the Vikes last week. Plus, the Packers are retiring Brett Favre's number. I'm going with the Pack in this one.
So am I, but it's going to be a closer game than you think. That the Bears are really playing good football. Nice comeback against the Broncos last week. I questioned that two-point conversion, the last play of the game that they had before they did the onside kick. You don't run the ball at the three-yard line when it's 80% of the time it doesn't work on a two-point conversion. Another story. Look, rivalry game, one of the biggest rivalries in the history of the NFL, and they play each other tough. I like the Pack, too, but I think it'll be close.
Okay, and I would imagine Olivia Munn's going to be there. We got a lot of comments and followers on social media just because we mentioned her last week. We should get her as a guest. Can you call her for us?
I have her on speed dial, but she's in the other room right now. She's putting her makeup on. She's one of the girls who's at a Panther game throwing her underwear. When I caught it, I got her phone number. So when I get her up, I'll see if we can, there's a couple issues. The reason why the Packers lost three games in a row, she's kind of hanging out with me. And it's breaking news, but guess what, man? When you're a guy like me that looks like Juan Epstein from Welcome Back, Carter, that's a chick magnet right there. But I'll get her up, and we'll get her off the record, and we'll see what's going on, okay?
All right. That's good. Actually, one of the things I tweeted last week during the game was one of the wide receivers for the Packers ran the wrong route. And so I obviously said, well, that was Olivia Munn's fault. So she clearly came through last week, and with all the people blaming her, that was the most ridiculous thing I saw.
Can I kind of throw one thing in there? You bring that up, and there was a comment that Josh McDaniel, the offensive coordinator, made for the Patriots. He goes, there's a couple times that Gisele Bündchen, Tom's wife, has gone down to the sidelines during practice, and a lot of guys run bad routes, so we had to go back in the stands.
All right, makes sense.
I'm running the bad routes just thinking about what he said.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, let's try to get that picture out of our heads right now. Think football. Let's talk about injuries. A number of new injuries are affecting the games this week. Peyton is obviously still out. He's going to be out for a couple more weeks. You're talking about Flacco gone for the season, maybe longer. The Pats have lost Amendola, but it's on a non-contact injury, and it may only be for a week or 2 weeks with a sprain. Marshawn Lynch gone with hernia surgery for 4 weeks. And the Bills kept Tyrod Taylor at QB despite a shoulder injury. Looks like he is going to play. As I watched the Bills-Patriots game on Monday night, and at times the Pats offensive line was just horrendous. Brady just was throwing balls away. The game was interesting, I think, for real football fans or nuts who love the Bills and the Pats. But I have to think for the average fan, it really wasn't great football. Yet on the other hand, with these injuries, some of the top teams like the Pats, they're vulnerable despite their good records. What are your thoughts? Are these injuries hurting or helping the fans?
Well, it hurts the fans, and it also, like, you know, it's going to help teams and make parity more prominent in the league. I mean, we talk about this every week. I've never, in all my years watching football, seen as many injuries, and every week it's a star. And give Joe Flacco credit, man. He knew he hurt his knee, and he stayed in that last drive and drove him down the field. That's a gutsy guy. Another guy that did that, I'll bring up, that even though I think he's a wimp because of the way he acts, Philip Rivers tore his ACL in the AFC Championship game against New England about 8 years ago and stayed in the game. And that enamored himself with the rest of his teammates. Antonio Gates said, this guy will lead us forever. Flacco's a stud. But, again, I mean, Tyrod Taylor is playing. Amendola's playing. I don't know what's going on. I still put it at the fact that these guys aren't conditioned in the offseason. This rule we talk about, and we've talked about it a number of times on the show, John, that they only have 14 padded practices. Mark Schlereth, a commentator for ESPN, Pro Bowl offensive lineman for years, said it's the dumbest rule ever. You can't leave it on the player to condition themselves. They're not disciplined enough. In the old rules, we had many, many camps. We had pads. We were ready to go, and we had 6 weeks of training camp of pads, and we didn't see as many injuries, and we hit hard back then also. So that's something that's going to have to be addressed at the Nets collective bargaining agreement, which is not for 5 more years, so we're going to see this pattern continue.
You know, what's interesting is a lot of the non-contact injuries. You know, my theory is the players, they're bulking up their muscles, but the tendons don't get bulked up. They just stretch and rip. And I think a lot of the problem is trying to be bigger and stronger – And I think a lot of that is a result of the projectile tackling that you and I have spoken about. Is there a connection there? Am I off base as far as that goes? Because Amendola didn't get hit. Deion Lewis of the Patriots didn't get hit. And I'm giving you all Patriots. Wolfric, he ripped his Achilles, never was hit. You're beginning to see a lot of these here. And I'm making the connection to projectile tackling. Am I right or am I wrong as far as that goes?
I think you're right, and I think you have a point on both sides. I mean, one of the biggest injuries in the whole season was Jordy Nelson in a preseason game just making a cut on a slant pattern.
Yeah, absolutely.
I go back years ago. I'm going old school. Dan Marino tore his Achilles tendons just going back to pass and setting up. And, you know, that's 20 years ago. So you're going to have freak injuries. You're going to have injuries because of the tackling. But the guys are bigger and stronger right now. It's just the way it is. It's crazy how big and fast these guys are. And you look at some of these collisions and you wonder how these guys get up. But it's something that the league's going to have to look at. And they do every year. And they try and make better padding and better equipment. The bottom line is it's a very violent game. And I'm concerned about the future of it because I just don't think the NFL, and this is going to sound sour, but the NFL could last under 25 years with the way it's going, because I don't think youth football is going to continue.
Okay.
I brought up Mark Slaret, and we talked about it. Mark Slaret said he doesn't think kids should play football until they get to high school.
Mm-hmm.
That Pee Wee League should be abolished all because kids get concussions in Pee Wee football. They don't even know it.
Absolutely.
So,
I agree 100%. I was going to ask you, so which team has the worst of with injuries? Actually, I think that's a dumb question for me to ask, because I was going to ask you, which team do you think can come through the best with these injuries? Because obviously the Chargers and the Ravens, I mean, obviously they're not coming through. But I see the Patriots, and, they put a young kid in there, and I'm drawing a blank on his name. He played for Cal. And they took him off the practice squad, and he made one of the great catches. Unfortunately, the catch was nullified from a holding call. But I'm looking at him going like, you know, the Patriots just seem to keep rolling out players that can play even though they've been on the practice squad. Are they the best team as far as being able to sustain it? Could it be the Broncos? What are you looking at as far as that goes?
No, I think the Broncos, because the Broncos have a ton of injuries, but they're mostly on the offense with their offensive line, a couple running backs. Monte Ball's out, and Ronnie Hillman's been out, and Demaryius Thomas has been banged up, and Owen Daniel. Now, of course, Peyton Manning's out. The Patriots have injuries everywhere, and you saw it. You spoke earlier about the Bills and the Patriots on Monday night, and it just seemed like Tom Brady could. First of all, the Patriots had a chance to run the clock out and get a first down, and Tom Brady told Bill Belichick that let's run LeGarrette Blount three straight times because I don't have confidence in these guys right now, and let's just get the clock out and leave it on our defense. So the teams that will make it in the NFL, obviously, are the ones with the better defenses, but the ones that have injuries are the ones that have them on the offensive side, and their defenses are pretty much intact. So keep an eye on Denver because they're going to get healthy. New England's got a very good defense also. The team with the most injuries is the Chargers. I've never seen anything like that. But they're revolving injuries. They're guys that are out and keep coming back, and another guy goes out, another guy comes back, and they still stink.
Okay. Let's talk about the officiating. The league needs to definitely work on the officiating. Penalties, you told me, are up almost 30% from last year. The Monday night game with the Bills and the Pats, to me, was one of the worst. Inadvertent whistles, clock issues, you name it. The refs kind of look like that State Farm commercial when their mics are still on and they're trying to bamboozle the fans into thinking they know what they're doing. Actually, I think it's a funny commercial. What needs to be done without slowing down the games?
It's interesting, and I want to ask you a question. When you watch a football game, and this is to the listeners also, whenever there's a play of over 20 yards or a 10-yard pass play, I'm always looking at the graphics to see that one yellow graphic that says flag.
Flag.
It's never about the play anymore with me because I'm so used to seeing flags on every play. And if there's a long play or something, it's usually defensive. Defensive holding calls are up 62% this year.
Wow.
62% from last year. Did my homework on that. And the sad thing is they're just calling everything, and it really slows down the game. It slows down the pace of the game. It's affecting games. What really concerns me, and it concerned John Gruden on the Monday night game between the Bills and the Pats, is the officials are huddling up more than ever, have in any other year. It's usually when a call is made, let's say the referee makes it, or the line judge makes it. They look over at the head official. They say what it is, holding number 77 offense, and it's called within 7 seconds. Now they're holding up over everything, so it slows the pace down of the game. And again, yeah, this is the one sport where, and basketball, where the officials really have a huge say in what goes on and in the outtakes of games. I'm very concerned about this, and I'm sure the NFL is too. I always say this to anyone that'll listen, John. I'll get quick on this. The NFL is very protective of their image in the grid, and they know. Roger Goodell in the league office knows that people are pissed off about it, teams are pissed off about it, and the media is pissed off about it. They don't want four-hour games.
Yeah, let me push back just a little bit just to get the other side. A lot of holding penalties, defensive holding penalties. Isn't that just kind of free up the offense so that there's more points in there? And at the same time, too, they're huddling up because, one, they want to get it right. Two, the game is moving so fast. And three, we got technology that can pinpoint and make sure we do have it right. So where do you do – because those things, to me, probably aren't a bad thing. I mean, we want to see more points scored because we'd love to see more offense. At the same time, too, we want to get it right because you got fans who are really pissed off when their team gets screwed on a call. So is there a sweet spot in there to make sure everything like that is taken care of, yet at the same time, too, you know, move the games along?
To get it right. You said it all. Get it right. I don't care about the points being scored. I've seen some of the best games ever are 17-14. It's get it right.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom line is what I'm hearing now in the league meetings that are coming up, the owners meeting in March, besides the LA issue being the big thing addressed, the other thing that's going to be addressed is the coaches now want to have a challenge, an extra challenge, a challenge, a pass interference call or an officials call. If they do that, that may deter the officials from throwing flags because they have huge egos too. And guys like Ed Hockley, and the ex-guy that's always in the booth, Mike Carey, huge egos, they don't want to be wrong. So that could be something that could deter a lot of the calls. If the owners say, okay, you can now challenge officiating calls.
Okay, we are talking with our expert, Eric Schneider, author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. He is also on the Power Hour on 1340 Fox Sports Radio in Las Vegas. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at John Daly Sports. Let's hit some of the other big games. We talked about the Patriots at Denver. Patriots get to face the Broncos and Brock. Pats don't play well in Denver. To me, the Pats look so beat up on offense. You were just talking about it. Brady doesn't have any confidence in that line. Although I'm beginning to like the Patriots' defense. Actually, I thought they played fairly well last week. I'm going to go with the Broncos and Brock in this one. And I think substantially, too. I think the Pats are ready for a letdown.
I agree. I think it's a short week. Big game against the Bills. That's really their number one rival in their division. You can say it's the Jets, but they hate Rex Ryan. And they're coming into Denver, and it's not, you know, the league would love Peyton Manning and Tom Brady to have their rivalry continued. But I think everyone's talking Patriots, and the Broncos feel like a team that's disrespected. I like the Broncos. I wouldn't be shocked if the Broncos won by 10 points.
Okay, I agree with you. Hey, going back to the Bills and the Pats, did you have a problem with Brady using an audible Rex Ryan?
Loved it. Absolutely loved it. That's fantastic. That's right. You know, that's fantastic. Look what the audible Omaha did for Peyton Manning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Could you imagine if this turned into a commercial? Remember, you know, the Omaha?
Mm-hmm.
That Peyton Manning always goes, Omaha, Omaha, you know. And he did use it in a nationwide commercial, and he had a couple commercials using his Omaha thing. So that'd be great if he turned this into Tom Brady doesn't do many commercials, but I thought it was fantastic.
All right. Hey, everyone's talking about a mile-high QB controversy. Could there actually be one? I mean, a torn plantar fascia tendon. He can barely walk. You know, is Peyton looking to be, you know, the Hemingway's old man in the sea trying to reel in that last big one? I don't see this as a controversy. I think he's gone for at least the next 2 weeks and maybe gone for the season. That's just not an injury. You're going to be running
woke
around.
Up and when you said Hemingway's the old man in the sea trying to reel in that last big one, I say, God, that Pierce Brosnan lookalike is so good with metaphors. Why didn't we cast him in Newsroom?
Well, and that's true. Wait till I start coming out with my Fitzgerald quotes. I mean, it just, you know, I'm like a Norman Mailer when it comes to that stuff.
You are the Steinbeck of football, and man, getting back to football. Yeah, is this the Wally Pipp syndrome? Is this Wally Pipp going out and Lou Gehrig coming in? I don't know. I think as long as Brock Osweiler plays well, if he goes out and throws three picks against the Patriots and Peyton Manning's healthy in 2 weeks, hey, guess what? Guess who's coming back? Because we're in a playoff run right here. But I think no matter what happens to Peyton Manning and his plantar fascia tendon, if Brock continues to play well, remember, no one talks about this. This is Brock Osweiler's in a contract year. Talk about leverage.
Yep.
He's a free agent. And if he plays well and they go back to Peyton Manning, he could say, you know, franchise me and give me $18 million a year next year, which we don't know much about. And that could be under Scott Mitchell or Rob Johnson or continue. I think this is Brock's team from now on. I think I've seen the last of Peyton Manning.
Yeah, my thought is that if he's truly healed, and I think that's a difficult thing to heal, then you got to put him in there, especially for the run, because he just knows how to run the offense. But if he's not, if he's a liability, I don't care how good he is as far as calling the plays. If he can't run back and throw the ball, then you know he's in trouble. So we'll have to see. This one's going to play out over the next 2 weeks. That'll be a really interesting game. Another good game. Steelers go to Seattle to play the Seahawks. Both teams need this win to stay relevant in the playoff hunt. Marshawn Lynch is now gone. He had that hernia surgery coming up. But Thomas Rawls, I think he's been really good. So I don't think Marshawn's a major factor not being there. Still, I like Big Ben and the Steelers. I just don't have faith in the Seahawks this year.
If you're going to ask me two teams to watch out down the stretch, the last six games that most teams have that's under the radar, the Pittsburgh Steelers are one in the AFC, and I think either it's the Dallas Cowboys if they run the table, and the New York Giants. I think there's something there. The Giants had that stink about them they had in 2007-11 and 2011 when they were 9-7 and beat the Patriots. Wouldn't that be something that happened again? Wow. But anyways, yeah. Going back to this, I like the Steelers also. I think that they're getting some guys back on defense, coming off a bye week. Ben coming in as a relief quarterback and just kicking the crap out of the Browns, they just have too much for Seattle. Seattle's not playing good football. They're not. Their offense is out of sync, and they're beating some lousy teams at the 49ers, but I don't care if the game's in Seattle. You know, Pittsburgh travels, though. There'll probably be 10,000 Steeler fans there.
Yeah, I agree. Speaking of 49ers, Cardinals go to the 49ers. I'm back on the Cards bandwagon after beating Cincy. I got the Cards in this game, but I'm worried about a hangover game because that game last week against Cincy was a tough game. I do think that the NFC Championship will be the Cards and the Panthers. So I think I'm going with the Cards in this game, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was a letdown game.
I wouldn't either, but I'm going with the Cards also. And quietly, Carson Palmer is in that conversation for the MVP. Leads the league in touchdowns with 27. And if he gets them to the NFC Championship game, even gets to the Super Bowl, he'll win the MVP over Cam Newton and Tom Brady.
All right, the Rams lost thanks to an unnoticed concussion injury. In fact, we didn't talk about that concussion. I wanted to talk about that. But the Bengals, they've now lost two in a row. I think the Bengals are more for real this year. So I see them bouncing back. Talk about the game first, and then let's talk about the Case Keenum injury because I forgot to hit on that earlier. What do you think about the Rams and Cincy?
I think the Rams are done. I think that when you give Nick Foles a contract extension in the preseason at $13 million a year. You owe him $6 million, and then you bench him for Case Keenum. There's trouble in paradise. Of course, the controversy with Greg Williams and the dirty hit on I forgot who it was for the whoever they were playing. It was a dirty hit in the game, and I'm drawing a blank right now.
It was the Minnesota game, Bridgewater.
It was Bridgewater. Thank you. That's why I have you. And now you have the Case Keenum incident. There's a lot of disarray and it seems like dysfunction in that organization. And no one's going to their games. They've given up on that. So, you know, they're one of the teams rumored to go to L.A. I like the Bengals in this game. Big.
Okay. Let's go back to the Case Keenum concussion, and because I want to talk about that with the injuries up on top of the show, and I completely forgot my notes. Got a little mustard because you were talking about Olivia Munn. He was allowed to stay in that game. That was a huge error. What's your take on it? What are you hearing as far as what they're going to do to make sure that does not happen again? Because not only that, it cost the Rams that game.
He fumbled in the next play. Wait, this is the same situation. You remember way back in college football when Michigan played Colorado and there was five downs? How does so many people sit in the booth on the sidelines and coaches on the opposing team? How do you miss that? This guy was woozy. You had players saying, come on and get him, and he said no. And you have to the NFL, again, being so image conscious, being sued and having to give up $785 million to ex-players because of concussions. This is one of the big stories of the week that got lost, that they could miss this, and it's a shame. And again, here's a guy, Jeff Fisher, who's on the competition committee, who headed the competition committee concerning concussions, and it's a guy on his own team that the controversy's on. I'm hot about this because this can't happen. And the league is trying to really – they're never going to alleviate concussions, but they're so concerned about them. And if you just go down weird like Jeremy Maclin did for Philadelphia last week against San Diego, and he went down and he said, I'm not even hurt. They gave him a concussion protocol. And he had to come and sit out a few plays. So I'm concerned that the league could miss that.
Okay. Let's go to the Vikings now. We talked about them briefly before. To me, they looked like deer in the headlight last week. We're in first place? Wow, we're not used to that. They go to what I would call Coldlanta to face the Falcons. Falcons, to me, just looked horrendous last week against the Colts. I like the Vikes coming back on the road. One reason being, just to add what you said, the Green Bay Packers were just that good last week. That's why the Vikings lost. I think the Vikings come back this week. What do you think?
I'm concerned about the Falcons, that they got to a really hot start. You don't lose that kind of lead. And yeah, I'm concerned that, and I'm throwing a tangent in here, that Derek Carr, the Raiders, has fallen into the same category of a Matt Ryan and maybe a Matthew Stafford. Guys are going to throw for a lot of stats, maybe get to the playoffs a couple of times, and be another Steve Barkowski or Burt Jones, guys that have long careers, Dan Fouts, that have long careers and never win anything. And Matt Ryan's heading that way. I was shocked at some of the throws. I watched that game, and I like the Vikings also. The Falcons just seem like to be imploding.
Okay. And just to tease, we're going to talk about the Derek Carr thing a little later in the game when we're going to talk about faith and religion and football. Giants are in D.C. with the Skins. Really big playoff implications, and also who's going to win that horrible NFC East. I have the Giants. Obviously, I'm a Giants fan. They're rested. I'm going to go with them, but I think this is going to be a great game. I think this will be a typical Giants Skins game, typical of that conference even over the past years, even though the records of these teams are not great.
Love it. Love this game. Always love this. Any rivalry in the NFC East is fantastic. Like the Giants. Mm-hmm. I said earlier that the Giants or the Cowboys are the one team that's under the radar, two teams under the radar in the NFC, besides what I call the top three, which would be the Packers, the Cardinals, and the Panthers. So if the Giants are going to live up to what I just said, they have to win this game.
Okay. Resurgent Buccaneers with legitimate playoff hopes. They go to Indy with the Colts. Colts are at home, I'm going to call this as a hangover game for them. I got the Bucs. I like what the Bucs are doing right now, and I think they're young, and I don't think they understand what they're doing. So I'm going to go with them.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, early in the season, we had Amari Cooper, you and I, as a Rookie of the Year. Slam dunk.
Mm-hmm.
Starts to fall for a little bit. We have Todd Gurley as Rookie of the Year. Slam dunk. Starts to fall for a little bit. Have you seen Jameis Winston's stats the last few weeks? He's really stepping up. And he's got weapons. When you have a Vincent Jackson, Mike Evans, Doug Martin had a huge game running. That helps when you have a good, decent offensive line. And Jameis Winston, you watch this guy play, he's getting better every week. And if you would have had me handicap who'd be a better rookie this year, Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota, I probably would have picked Mariota, but I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Jameis Winston looks great. I like the Bucs.
Yeah, and in fairness to Mariota, injuries have hurt him as well. But certainly Winston's made them a better team. I agree. Two more playoff hopefuls. The Bills go to Kansas City to play the Chiefs. History says after you play the Pats, you lose. Rex says that Tyrod will start despite that injury during the Pats game. Add to that injury the fact that the Chiefs, to me, look very, very good. I am going with Andy Reid and the Chiefs.
And we talked about injuries earlier. They lost a top five running back in Jamal Charles, a couple of offensive linemen, Junior Houston. They have a ton of injuries, and they're a team that's won four in a row, and they're getting better every week. It's about who you have as your next man up and your coaching staff. I like the Chiefs in this one. Wouldn't be shocked if they won by two touchdowns.
Okay, Chargers go to Jacksonville to play the Jags, who – Jags are still in it. Nah, I don't like the Chargers coming east at all, and I kind of like what the Jags are doing. I like their defense. I got the Jags in this game.
The toss-up for me, because the Jags' defense is suspect, and Blake Bortles is quietly having a good season. And they come around. They've won four games already. They're actually, you know, they and the Raiders only one game behind the last wild card spots. And they're in a bad division. They could actually win that division. I like the Jags also, but anytime you got Phillip Rivers – out there. He never quits. Although last week getting plummeted 33-3 by the Chiefs at home was a little bit of a quit factor. I didn't like that. But somehow the Chargers, when you think they're going to lose, they come back and play tough. I got the Jags, but don't be shocked if the Chargers win this. I don't think anyone would be shocked if the Chargers win this game.
Okay, Dolphins and Jets battle it out for the basement or third spot, or possibly a spot in the playoffs in Jersey. Jets were absolutely horrendous last week, but I like them to bounce back. I love their coach. I just think they're a better team than what they've been giving off. If they only had an offense, so. But I like the Jets in this one.
Yeah, you know, the biggest enigma to me, one of the biggest enigmas in the NFL is the Miami Dolphins. Ton of talent, not a lot of injuries. Have you heard Ndamukong Suh's name mentioned at all?
Nope.
I mean, look, thank God it's not mentioned for the cheap plays and the penalties and the fines. He's been pretty clean in that aspect this year, John. He's not doing anything. He's the highest paid free agent ever, and he hasn't made one difference on that team. Of course, they fired their coach Joe Philbin. You got Dan Campbell in there. I think they're done. Look, isn't it interesting? A couple weeks ago, they're down 16-3 to Philly. In Philly, they win. And they just looked horrible against Dallas. I mean, horrible.
Yeah.
And they don't play well at home either. I know they're in Jersey, but the Dolphins are one of those teams that have a lousy home record. I like the Jets in this game big.
Okay. Another Thanksgiving game is kind of what I would call an game. Eagles are at the Lions. Eagles, they are miserable, but they're still in the playoff hunt. The Lions, miserable, beat the miserable Raiders. But I'm going to go with the home cooking here. I'm going to pick the Lions in this game.
So am I. The Lions' defense is ranked 12th in the league, and you saw it against the Raiders to 215 yards of offense. And one thing the Raiders do have this year that's pretty consistent is their offense. And the Lions last week had three starting defensive backs out and held Amari Cooper to one catch and 6 yards. Michael Crabtree, five catches and 50 yards. So the Eagles are, again, they're Jekyll and Hyde, and Mark Sanchez will throw a great pass and a pick the next time. So I like the Lions also.
Okay, let's touch on some coaching moves coming up. Since we just talked about Chip Kelly, if he loses, is he done? And is he done if they don't make the playoffs?
One of the biggest egos in the National Football League, I found out from my sources, the guy, he's one of the only guys in the league that has a say in players. In other words, he's a player personnel guy. He picks the team. He can make trades. It's the reason why Macklin's gone, Deshaun Jackson's gone, LeSean McCoy's gone. A lot of guys are gone, and the guys he brought in, the Sam Bradfords, the DeMarco Murrays, it's not happening. And it's backfired on the guy. I'm not saying that Nick Foles is better because he's having a tough year in St. Louis, but he was very good in Chip Kelly's offense. And for whatever reason, Kelly didn't like him. I think Kelly's done if he loses here and doesn't make the playoffs. I think he'll quit. I don't think they'll fire him. I think he'll resign.
Okay. Chip Kelly and some others have been mentioned as possible head coaches at USC. There could also be another opening if Les Miles leaves LSU. Those are two pretty good college coaching jobs. We're also hearing that Jack Del Rio may be interested. Sean Payton could be headed to one of those places. What are you hearing from your sources? Because you're beginning to hear a lot of chatter.
It's a growing trend. You're going to see a lot of NFL coaches leave and go to college. Your good friend, Steve Spurrier, I heard him on an interview on Dan Patrick say, look, when I was in with the Washington Redskins, it's a long day. It's 14-hour days. I like to play golf. In college, you have a recruiting staff, and you go and close a couple recruiting things. You have a spring practice. You get your plays in. You pretty much know what you're doing. There's a lot of free time. And you get paid well. Can I give you a great recruiting story, the reason why guys go back to college?
Absolutely.
When Pete Carroll was at USC, he had a great recruiting staff. He had Steve Sarkisian, Ed Orgeron, Lane Kiffin was recruiters. He went in and closed maybe four guys. One guy was named Matt Barkley. We know him. He was at Philadelphia. Now he's a backup to Carson Palmer in Atlanta. Pete Carroll goes to the kid's house, meets his parents, sits down and says, young man, I hear you're thinking about going to USC. And he goes, well, yeah, coach, but you know, there's 200 schools that want me. He goes, well, let me tell you why you should go here. And he pulled out a picture of Matt Cassel and says, see this guy? And he goes, yeah. He goes, you know who he is? He goes, no. Well, he won 11 games for the Patriots a couple years ago, and he never played a down for me at USC. He goes, you come to here and play for me, there's a good chance you never play and make the NFL. Well, Matt Barkley signed on the dotted line. So that's it. A lot of these coaches want to go back. Look at Harbaugh's doing and Jim Harbaugh's doing in Michigan. Team won, five, six games last year. They're ranked 12th. They have a chance to go to the big Big 12 championship, and he's turned that whole team around with not a lot of time to recruit. The college game, college football, is the second most popular sport in America. Did you know that? Ratings-wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The money's fantastic.
Yep.
The prestige is fantastic. Tell me Nick Saban pays for a meal in Alabama, or your buddy Steve Spurrier pay for anything in South Carolina. They don't. So you're going to see the Del Rio's going to be interested in USC. They're going to go after him. If Chip Kelly leaves, SC is going to be up for grabs. Les Miles is probably even LSU. That'll be up for grabs. And there'll be a couple other coaching jobs that we don't know of yet that are going to be really prestigious and endearing for some of these guys. I think this is a big story in the offseason.
Okay. You know, it's interesting, too, just to confirm that. And you and I chit-chatted about this, and I was trying to think back. You know, all the celebrity golf events I went to, I don't remember too many active head coaches in the NFL. But I certainly played with a number of active college coaches. So I think there's a lot of truth to that. I also have to think that for these coaches, you know, if you're just – and I don't know if Steve Spurrier was exactly like this, but, you know, you're dealing with players who have egos, whereas in college – you're dealing with kids that are just trying to soak in whatever you're going to give them, so they're going to follow you. So it's much easier to motivate them. And at the same time, too, you have to go into a couple of living rooms. That's about it, maybe in the off season. And for the most part, you're hoping that your staff is going to be out there doing the recruiting. So I agree with you.
Urban Meyer and Nick Saban, the top guys, said they closed four times. And that same with PK. And you're absolutely right. When Nick Saban was the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, he soured really quick because he went up to a player. He would mention the name and try to discipline the guy. And he goes, I make more money than you, coach. And that was it for him. That's it. And I think Del Rio's seeing that with the Raiders. I mean, he was the defensive coordinator with Denver, and it worked out. But he's seen that you can't get to some of these guys. And in college, you get to every guy. They listen to every word you say, and it's a whole different ballgame.
Well, you know, the joke is that if a coach does go to USC, some of those players are paid more than the coaches, too. Anyway, that's not a good joke. Hey, we mentioned coaching changes. 49ers Jim Tomsula, is he in trouble? And to me, if they got rid of him, that would be kind of cruel. I think the guy deserves at least another year. What are you thinking and what are you hearing?
He's not in trouble at all, but a lot of the staff will be. I mean, he's one of these guys that went into a situation like Dave Roberts is with the Dodgers. And I go to baseball. When you go to a team that's been the playoffs four straight years, you have to win, and he's not. But Eric Mangini, who's his defensive coordinator, he's got a staff of Jason Tarver, ex-Raider defensive coordinator, on that staff. You got Tony Sperano running the offense. There's a lot of talent, and there's a lot of seniority in on that coaching staff, and those are the guys who take the brunt of it because the ego of Jed York, who was so adamant on getting Jim Harbaugh out of there when the players loved the guy, that if he fires Tomsula, it's saying I failed, and he'll get killed by the media up there.
Okay, let's examine some of those games with the coaches. First, the Saints go to the Texans. I'm really liking the Texans. They're tied for first place with the Colts at 5-5. I like the Texans, D. I know you were a little bit down on them because we talked about them in Pretenders and Contenders, but I'm going with the Texans in this one.
So am I. But you're seeing a new defensive coordinator. Dennis Allen, the ex-Raider coach, is now the new defensive coordinator of the Saints. Our buddy Rob Ryan, who, by the way, was phenomenal on the NFL Network pregame show last week. Great sense of humor. Better sense of humor than his brother because Ryan doesn't have an ego. He just comes out and goes, I'm the lousiest defensive coordinator with the best hair out there. But he goes, I can get fired and be on TV and look better than you, Marshall Faulk. He was fantastic. And you could tell it wasn't scripted. Look, whenever you have Drew Brees on your team and they get hot, they can go out and win a game. I like Houston in this game, but I'm famous for saying this. I wouldn't be shocked if the Saints won.
Yeah, I wouldn't. You never know if Drew Brees is going to get hot. Jack Del Rio and the Raiders, they're in Tennessee to play the Titans. Raiders, and we're going to get into that in a little bit. Goofy, goofy team. However, I think they do their bipolar thing, and I think the Raiders win this game.
Well, I'm so down on this team, and I told you weeks ago I didn't buy in when they were 4-3 because their defense was so horrific. Now their defense is ranked last in the league only because New Orleans didn't play last week. They were on a bye. The Raiders should win this game, but as long as their defense is playing the way it is, I can't pick them to win any game. I will never pick a team that's ranked last in any league in defense where defense is such a huge part of the program to win a game. So there's a lot of problems there.
All right, we are talking with our expert, Eric Snyder, author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. He's also on the Power Hour on 1340 Fox Sports Radio in Las Vegas. You can also follow me on Twitter and Facebook at John Daly Sports. Okay, you were tweeting and posting this week to Raiders Nation, voicing your disapproval of the team that you love, as you just mentioned. There's a lot of chaos in Raiders Nation. One thing, obviously, is the location. Where are they going to be next year and the next 2 years? The other is their talented quarterback, Derek Carr, and you mentioned that his religious faith. It to me, it doesn't seem to be in sync with what the Raiders and most teams want from their quarterback. What are you hearing? What are you seeing as far as Derek Carr? And does he still have a future with them?
Oh, absolutely. He's a great kid, great worker, first guy in the complex, last guy to leave. The problem is whenever the things go sour, he turns to his faith and uses that in a press conference and says, I don't get too low because my faith carries me through all this and there's a higher source that I adhere to. That's great. But have your faith steer you and will you to a couple of wins because, you know, not every guy on your team believes in what your faith is, number one. You don't know how many guys are Jewish or Christian or Muslim on your team, and it doesn't really matter. What great thing about the NFL, which only thing that rivals it to the military, you know, talked about, is no matter what background you come with one common goal, and that's to win, okay? And I don't know if you want to quarter. You see Tom Brady on the sideline when he's pissed off. Aaron Rodgers throwing a tablet. Peyton Manning. You see the top elite quarterbacks, Drew Brees, really show their emotions. Derek Carr could throw a pick, and he's gone to the sideline. I saw him do something that really upset me. Against the Bears this year, Latavius Murray had back-to-back fumbles, one that really almost – that practically cost him the game. It did cost him the game. And he sat there with his arm around him. And I remember Justin Tuck saying, the Raiders defensive end from the Giants, saying, you don't do that. You don't go up and pat guys on the back and tell them what's okay. It's not okay. We play 16 games, and every game in the NFL is tough to win. And you lose two in a row, and you could be out. What I'm hearing is that the Derek Carr, my concern with Derek Carr and the team has, is he a leader? You lead. We talked about this earlier. Is he another Matt Ryan or Matthew Stafford that's going to win games, throw a lot of stats? And if you're more, and I don't want to piss anybody off, but if you're more into your faith, that's great. But if you're going to say that to the media and it carries you through the hard times, let's carry you through the good times too, okay? Because fans want to hear about wins and hear about not your faith. They want to hear about what you did to throw the winning touchdown pass.
And you're saying that a lot of the Raiders broadcast team are also bringing it up, or at least you're hearing it from different sources there, right?
Well, you know, Tom Flores is an analyst on the Raiders radio broadcast, ex-head coach, won two Super Bowls, and he goes, I got to see a guy that's more. I know that losing hurts, and the kid is 7-19 as a starter. Okay, mm-hmm. That's bad, and you got to see that it affects you. You got to see that you get to that podium. When the Raiders lose, you can see Jack Del Rio in his press conferences. John, he's pissed off. He doesn't want to be talking football. He wants to get back on it. He is really upset. You could see it in his eyes. You could see it in his demeanor. You could see it with Khalil Mack. You could see it with Michael Crabtree. Okay. Amari Cooper, they said, takes it hard. Think about this. Amari Cooper has lost more games now with the Raiders than he lost in high school and in college. No one ever talks
Absolutely.
About that.
Yeah.
The effect of that. You're not used to losing, and you get to the NFL and you lose. I mean, you're going to lose at the NFL, unless you're the Patriots right now, but you're going to lose. And what I want to see with Derek Carr is the kid has talent. I think there's other issues with the kid. They have problems with him in the fact that he doesn't audibilize a lot. He calls what the coaches call, and that's never going to lead to victory in the long run. But let's see the emotions come out. You're really pissed off about losing. And don't always say, well, I don't get too high or too lows after loss, because I'm guided by faith. That's great. I'm all for that. I'm all for whatever you do to make you happy. But you're committed to a fan base and 52 other guys in that team. And let me tell you something. You know this, John, and all the listeners know this. You're judged in any sport by wins and losses. So talk all you want, say all you want. It's a production-type league. That's what it is. It's production and not what you say. And right now he's not producing.
All right. Monday night, the Ravens go to the Browns, but Johnny Football will not be playing after violating team policy while being caught on video partying with liquor. ESPN has to be livid since two of the worst teams are playing on Monday night, and this was the only interesting storyline. What are you hearing about this?
Well, I saw the video on TMZ. Wow. I mean, he's got a nice beer in his hand. It looked like it was a beer. Then he had what looked like a champagne bottle, and he's lit up. And he went. This is what concerns everyone. He was in 3 months of rehabilitation, a clinic for alcohol and some other substance. Yet, it's always been. I've always thought this: when you have an alcohol problem, you pretty much stay away from it. And if you're going to use it, you don't go. That's it. That's the problem right there. The problem is the kid can't control his partying. He's not smart in how he parties. If you're going to party, party in a place with cameras. So that's it. And Mike Pettine said enough's enough. You know, he doesn't get it. And they elevated him. They actually elevated him. Wrong word. They dumped him the third string, which means you're basically not even dressing it. Austin Davis is up, which means you're done for the season. And the bigger question is, will Jimmy Haslam move, because they sell a lot of Johnny Manziel jerseys, are they going to dump this kid in the offseason? I think there's a good possibility they will.
Yeah, plus they're going to have a decent draft pick, and there's a lot of good quarterbacks, as you talked about, coming out of college. All right, let's do a little fantasy time. I want you to watch out for this news story, especially if you're playing fantasy. It's happening today, Wednesday. The New York State Supreme Court is hearing preliminary arguments about when DraftKings, FanDuel, and Yahoo, whether they're breaking state gambling laws. But there's also a report out that only 1% of the players in fantasy sports win 90% of the winnings because there are math sharks out there that take the winnings from the majority of us minnows. That's a big story. And I think it's going to add to what you and I had said before. Our belief is that fantasy sports will be here because it makes money, but it's going to be regulated. What are you hearing? Anything new?
Same thing you just said. That we talked about this last week and weeks ago. That in Vegas, right, Las Vegas right now, it's a power play between the casinos and the DraftKings and the FanDuels, and it's all leveraging right now and setting up for that big what's going to happen next. This thing will all be resolved in the off season. In other words, football is obviously the biggest fantasy sports. DraftKings and FanDuel also have leagues in baseball and basketball in the NBA, but football is their bread and butter. And I think this will all get resolved, but I think that someone's going to get a piece of the pie, and the other piece of pie goes back to FanDuel and Draft. It's not going to go away. It's too big.
All right, we'll be following this. Just follow me on Twitter and Facebook at John Daly Sports, and if there's anything that breaks, we will get it to you. Let's get into the fantasy picks right now. What are you going for this week as far as quarterback? And tell me, do you want to add in the Thanksgiving games, or you just want to do the Sunday games?
Sure, I want to add the Thanksgiving games in because there's one that I like.
Cool.
Wow. As far as quarterback goes, I'm going with Carson Palmer. I have to stay with that hot hand. They're playing the 49ers, who just – I don't know if they're on the verge of quitting. I think they're playing hard for Tom Sula, but their season's done. And we didn't talk about another major injury. Colin Kaepernick's out for this season. So that might help Tom Sula because, you know, you're stuck with Blaine Gabbert for the next 6 weeks, who's not playing bad, but that wasn't the plan. I like Carson Palmer as my quarterback.
Okay. Running back?
I like Adrian Peterson. I think Peterson's going to bounce back against Atlanta. Atlanta's run defense is horrible. And I think Peterson's going to bounce back. He doesn't do well after a game in his mind where he just had a horrible game with a major fumble in that game. I'm going Peterson.
Okay. And are you worried about the fact, I mean, he's 30 years old, and he's certainly, you know, taken a pretty good beating. You're still with him, though, on that. You still think that playing indoors down in Atlanta is not going to hurt him?
No.
I think it's great. All right, cool.
The weather will not be a
wide receiver.
You know, it's easy to go with Antonio Brown, and I'm still going to go with Antonio Brown. He's lighting everyone up. I know he's going against Seattle's defense, but guess what? This guy, he's averaging 130 yards a game, so I got to go with Antonio Brown. I'm staying with him.
How about some of the wide receivers for the Cardinals? I mean, you got Carson Palmer. You picked him, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you stack?
Okay, then I'll go with John Brown. I like John Brown also, but I kind of try to mix it up a little bit. So,
cool. Tight ends.
Tyler Eifert.
Yeah, but he's just a good pick, isn't he? Almost every week.
He's a good pick. Every week, you know, he's fantastic.
Okay. What defense?
tough week this week on defenses. It's just it's so hard. And if I give you this defense, you might think I'm nuts. But the New York Jets, I think the Jets defense, still ranked number 7 in the league, they're going to step up and beat up on Miami.
You know, and one of the things they do is they get a lot of takeaways. They get a lot of takeaways, and they you know, there's a number of pick sixes in there, fumble recoveries too. So I think that's a good pick too. Your kicker. Don't tell me. Gostkowski?
No, I'm not going with Gostkowski. I'm going to go with Dan Carpenter of Buffalo Bills. I think they're going to do enough against Kansas City. They'll drive the ball and this and that. I think this is going to be a field goal type of game between Buffalo and Kansas City. I like Carpenter. Yes, Gostkowski, I go with them every week. And I just don't know if Denver's going to give them a lot of opportunities to kick a field goal, believe. Is that crazy, me saying that? But I'm going to mix it up and go with Dan Carpenter, the Buffalo Bills.
Well, the only thing about Gostkowski is he is going to be kicking in Denver, so he's going to get a little bit more length on the kicks. I thought it was interesting that he did miss a kick on Monday night, and I think it was some really bad wind there too that kind of pushed it away, because I've never seen his ball tail off to the right. But okay, Carpenter's a good pick. Last man standing.
You've never seen his balls tail off to the right? That just
I've never
made
seen
Olivia
tail
Munn
off
jump
right.
out of her bed and jump in the room over here.
Wow. Well, I'm just trying to get her to get out of there, because really, I know she's not in there putting her makeup on. She doesn't need makeup.
No.
Last man standing.
Green Bay Packers. I have to go with it tomorrow night. You're retiring Favre's jersey, and you know I still don't think there's a little acrimony between Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. They won't talk about it, but that didn't end well. And I don't think he wants to be on Rodgers' watch that he lost a game that they're retiring the greatest quarterback to this day, still the greatest quarterback in Green Bay mm-hmm. Packer history.
Okay.
I mean, maybe Rodgers will break that, and there's still some Bart Starr is going to be there, which is great. He's got some health issues, and he's going to be there. That's huge. Well,
okay. Yeah,
a lot of energy in that stadium. A lot of energy in that stadium tomorrow night, trust me.
Yeah. No. So as we wrap up here, I'm calling this the Confucius year for the NFL. It's certainly not the best of years, but it is definitely interesting times. Just as a wrap up, what are you thinking as we head into these last five games here?
I think it's great. I think you have teams that are 4-6 that are still alive. I think you're going to see a team in the next 6 weeks really step it up. It could be the Dallas Cowboys get by Carolina tomorrow. They could be a team that runs the table, or the Giants, or it could be someone else. Maybe the Raiders get their heads out of their you-know-whats and make a run, or it's Buffalo, or the Kansas City Chiefs to start out. Kansas City Chiefs are 1-5. They won 4 in a row, and they're right there. They're right there in the wild card mix. So it's going to be a great race to the finish, and you're going to get some injured guys back. And the NFL always has great storylines. It's been a better year this year, because last year we were so dominated by the Adrian Peterson and Ray Rice story. Kind of took away from some of the play on the field with all the stuff off the field. This year it's about really stuff on the field. It's about injuries and officiating and great games and great rookie play. And I think it's going to pick up as we head down the home stretch there, my man.
All right. A lot of intrigue, a lot of controversy. On that note, we have been talking with our expert, Eric Snyder, author of the book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. He is also on the Power Hour on 1340 Fox Sports Radio in Las Vegas. Boychuk, thanks.
Thank you, John. Have a great holiday, buddy.
Yeah, you too, pal. We'll talk next week. You can also follow all my coverage on Twitter and Facebook and John Daly Sports. Folks, thanks for tuning in. Happy Thanksgiving to you all. We will catch you next week.
For more on John Daly, including his blog postings and instructional videos, go to informnotinflamed.com.